What's up, you beauties? Welcome to another episode of High and Wide Radio, episode 26 of the sixth season of our existence. I'm your host, Jim Michael Bone, joined, as always, by Jack Smith. And if you're watching us live on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and set an alert for future shows. If you're listening as a podcast, hopefully you're listening on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and give us a like, a favorite, maybe drop a comment, a five-star rating. Apparently all that helps, helps us find new listeners and viewers and things like that. So if you guys could give us a hand there, that'd be cool. Jack, so another week, more drama with the Philadelphia Flyers. If they do one thing right, they provide content for us. We don't really ever need to go looking for it. They're in the midst of a playoff race. They're clinging onto that third spot in the Metro. The Capitals, Red Wings, and Islanders seemingly on their heels. We'll get to the playoff race in a little bit. Obviously, last week we had the Tortorella suspension to talk about. He was suspended for two games, fined $50K. This week, Jack, Tortorella decides to healthy scratch the captain, Sean Couturier, just a little bit over a month after being named captain of the team. The first time in how long has it been? A year and a half, almost 2 years since they've had a captain. Mm-hmm. They named Couturier, they give him the C, and a month later, he's healthy scratched. So obviously, we're going to talk about that. We talked a lot about last week, the decrepit defense corps. They've stepped up, at least last night. So we want to talk about some of the young guys there in Ronnie Adderd and Adam Ginning. Maybe we'll even touch on Eric Johnson. Cam York's looked great. So we have a lot to talk about, to say the least. We won't spoil it all now. But, Jack, obviously the big topic, right? And we're going to probably center a lot of our show around this Couturier stuff, because there's been a lot that's kind of gone on, right? From the obvious benching, the response from Couturier, the game last night, and then Tortorella's comments after the game. And obviously, I want to get your takes and opinions on all of it. So let's kind of take it step by step. Let's try to break it down as best we can as possible. The Couturier healthy scratching. First thoughts when you saw that?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think I agreed with it, but it's not something that like really grinds my gears. I don't think it was, it's awkward because you consider how he was just made captain. But when you look at his play, and he hasn't been the worst out there, but he is the highest paid player on the team. And you just, frankly, you need more from the guy. Now, on top of that, he hasn't played a full season in quite some time. And we've talked about this last week. There's got to be some kind of fatigue setting in here. So I wish it was handled differently. Like, you could have used a number of reasons to take him out of the lineup. You didn't have to say he's a healthy scratch. It could have been like a maintenance day kind of thing or whatever, illness. I don't know. But like, they made it a point, and I don't think that was handled well. And then on top of the comments that Couturier made, the whole thing's a bit of a shit show. But not to get too far off track, just the flat-out decision to bench him, I disagree with. However, who am I to go against some of the things that Torts has done, at least for this year, and argue with the results? Because the team has performed, I can't tell you how much better than we all expected. We're hanging on to a playoff spot, barely, and the team's been dipping, going into a very rough stretch, and they managed to pull out a win. Now, could this have lasting effects down the line? Well, that's yet to be seen, and we'll get into that a little bit, but look, I wouldn't have done it, but he did it, and everybody should be treated the same and held accountable, including your captain. So it is what it is. I would imagine that mature adults could get past this, but we'll see. We'll see what we're dealing with here. I heard some things that weren't very captain-like from the new captain, but it's early. I'm not going to throw him under the bus completely or be done with him yet. But, I mean, it is what this is. Torts. We know who this guy is. This isn't out of left field. Like, it just seems worse than it is because he was just named captain. But, you know, if you're trying to make a playoff, something's got to give.
Yeah. So obviously there's a lot to unpack I guess my initial reaction was, so I think the day before in practice, they had Couturier, Atkinson, and Gurianov all on a line together in practice. And my first thought was, okay, you know, he's putting the two guys that kind of need to get it going and break out of this thing together. He's going to put them together and they'll break out of it together. And, you know, they'll put him with the new guy kind of thing. And man, was I wrong, you know? They were all benched for the next game. I had somebody actually DM me, somebody who, you know, knows things within the Flyers universe and kind of tip me off a little bit. Hey, that Couturier might end up being the healthy scratch. Like, don't be surprised. And you know, they had him on the fifth line in practice, so the hint was kind of there. But I don't think anybody really thought that would be a possibility, right? And so it happened. And I was surprised, and my first thought was, well, this is going to be a thing. You know, this is going to be a distraction. And so I see this from two ways, right? First and foremost, the way I see things now, I tend to see things from more of like a coach or a boss leader perspective, right? But we were all players at one point in our lives. And, you know, we all know it's embarrassing to not see your name on the list of who's playing tomorrow night kind of thing. Right. Especially if you're the captain, you were named captain a month ago. It's not just a local thing. Like, this is a national thing for Couturier. And we've talked a lot. These guys have pretty big egos, and it's tough to put those aside. Right. You heard Coots even mention it. He's got to put his ego aside and move forward here. So I think some of the responses we heard from Couturier for me were surprising, but I don't think anyone prepares themselves to be put in that situation, you know, especially a guy like his stature. I mean, he's been in the league since he was 18 years old. Has he ever been healthy scratched? I don't even think from when he was a kid, you know what I mean? So it's a new experience. It's humbling. It's embarrassing. And where I was worried last night was, you know, does Tort start to lose the room here? Because that's a pretty big, like, you go into your bag of tricks for things to get the team going, right? This is year two of Tortorella. The team's, they're in the playoff race, but they weren't expected to be there. So to pull this kind of a trick out of your bag this early was a little concerning for me. Right? Because that's what it is. It's how do I get my team going? And they responded with a win against Toronto. But I'm a little worried about that. You know, when you go back to the well, what are you going to go to next? Right? Before the team starts to catch on like this fucking guy. Right? What's he going to do next? You know?
I mean,
start to lose your luster a little bit when you do that stuff too much.
For sure. Especially to your captain, a guy who's going to be here for after this year, what, another 6 years at least? Definitely longer than Torts will be here, at least behind the bench. But at the same time, if they go belly up during this really tough stretch, they're out of the playoffs. You know, I mean, maybe it was a make or break thing for Torts to pull the trigger now instead of later. Now, past this season, for sure, there could be issues. I would hope that they could talk and figure things out like adults. You know, the team wasn't performing, so something had to be done. And, you know, you could have benched, you could talk about all these other guys that needed to be benched and whatnot, but who's really going to have an impact? Who's really going to light a fire under your team's ass unless you bench the captain, a guy who's really never been benched before? You know, I think that had an effect. I mean, Tippett scored within what, the first 19 seconds of the game. You know, I mean, it had the desired effect was achieved. I don't know. We'll see what happens going forward. I really hope he doesn't bench him again. I know that Torts can be the type to, like, okay, well, this is working, so we'll wait until they lose before I put him back in. I don't think they can do that. You need Couturier out there, especially against these teams coming up on this stretch. But if he saw that things were getting a little out of hand, you had to do something now because they would have fallen out of a playoff race. I mean, let's be honest. If Detroit and the Islanders weren't playing below .500 hockey the last, what, five, six games, they probably are clinging onto a spot barely. And now Washington's, you know, even sniffing around pretty seriously. They're the only team going tonight, but keeping an eye on that game. You know, so you just couldn't play games. You had to, if you're going to do something, you needed to do it now. So I get it from that. Did he do the right thing for yesterday's game? Yes. Going forward for the rest of this season and his tenure as the coach, I don't know. We'll see. I just hope that everybody can be adults. You're all making tons of money. You know, like, it's all about winning. It's a results-based business, so you do what you got to do. I hope that these effects don't linger, because they shouldn't. You know, this is life. This is how it goes. It's happened before, not in a long time. I think the last time I read a captain was benched was Ed Jovanovski for the Panthers, and that was years ago and at the end of his career. However, it's torts. We're not completely foreign to these things. So I hope that Twitter is making it more out to be than what it is. That's how I felt. The comments made by Couturier, I wasn't super happy about, but, like, you know, it's also a weird situation. As long as the way he spoke doesn't bleed into how he starts to act, I don't want him going around sulking. You know, I want him to be upset. You want the guy to be upset. He wants to play, even though he knows and admitted himself that he's not up to his own standards. And I think we can all say, like, the guy was been out for a long time. He's probably feeling some fatigue. Let's be real. But, you know, they're players. They want to play. That's what they do. So, you know, I get that. I want him to be upset about that. But there was a sulkiness to his comments, like a woe is me. I didn't like that, but it could just be his demeanor. So it's something I'm going to keep an eye on. And all our concerns about fracturing a relationship between the two going forward, it could be a start of that. I hope it's not. I hope we're more mature than that. And like Frost, look how Frost was at the beginning of the season, all the stuff we used to talk about, and how he's been playing pretty much since January on. Like, it can work. It can be a good thing. I think Coots is a little different because I think fatigue is a major factor. But this was bigger than just Coots and Torts. This is for the team and for the season. They're trying to make the playoffs here. They're really going for it. They deserve it. To fall off the track now would really be a bummer. So do what you got to do to get the team going and figure the rest out later.
Well, I mean, so I'm going to go back to the short-sighted move part. And when you think about, okay, he did it to win one game. In the grand scheme of things, does that one game really matter?
For this season?
No. For what they're trying to do, for the rebuild that they're trying to do and make the playoff and be, you know, perennial playoff Stanley Cup contenders year in, year out. Coots is your captain for the next 6-7 years, however long it is. Do you need to win that one game that desperately that you need to pull this move in year two of all this?
Well, the answer to that is no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a
real gamble to do that by benching your captain year two of a rebuild or year one of a rebuild in a game against the Leafs, who, yeah, have pumped you twice this year in both games Couturier played in. You know, you're missing half your D, right? And now you're going to bench your captain.
You traded one of your better defensemen at the deadline. And, you know, because you're a rebuild, and then you turn around, bench your captain, who you just named captain because you're struggling to make the playoffs. I get it. I mean, in the long run, that seems pretty stupid. Maybe they put, you know, this playoff run before the future of the team. I just think that Torts will be out of here if that's really the case.
I think it goes back for me, like, they are trying to walk that line. Of, hey, let's make, like, we're here now. Excuse me. We're here now. Let's make the playoffs. But also, like, don't lose sight of the big picture. Like, it was a gamble what he did, and it paid off for one game of 82, or, you know, however long Tortorella is going to be here. I like Torts, you know? So when he did this, I'm like, oof. You know, I don't know if I agree with this move now. You know, if it's year three and the roster is maybe a little bit more built and the team's going through it a little bit and Couturier is not really holding it, pulling his weight, because let's be honest, he hasn't been, right? So
no, he hasn't.
Yeah, to me, that was a pretty big, you know, if we're going to call these tricks, that's a pretty big trick to pull out of your bag pretty soon, in my opinion. Like, that one kind of stays to the end for me. Like, all right, I really need to get these guys going. What do I got left? Oh, I haven't benched the captain yet. You know what I mean? I haven't embarrassed him nationally yet. You know?
That's what it is. It's the embarrassment about it. Because otherwise, if there's no captain, it's not that big a deal. It's a deal, but it's not that big a deal because he was just named. It was 35 days ago, I thought I said, like just over a month, he's named captain. He's play dipped almost immediately afterwards, but, you know, it's embarrassing. It's still embarrassing. I come from like the Mike Keenan coaching tree, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't think it should be as big as a deal, but I'm not a modern age athlete now like these guys nowadays. And some of his demeanor, that's what worried me, but. I mean, you're not wrong, though.
I mean, it's talked about by players. It's talked about around the league. It's talked about on every, you know, every hockey channel there is. It's talked about on podcasts like this. We're talking about Sean Couturier being benched. You know what I mean? Like, that's the conversation.
There are coaches.
Couturier being scratched.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just,
it's made news. Like, everybody knows.
I don't think Couturier likes the spotlight, number one. I just don't think he's the spotlight kind of guy. And then to have to talk about this, I think pissed him off even more. You know, if you listen to his interview from yesterday, I think the quote was something like, I'm not crazy about the way that I've been treated around here lately. And to me, it sounded like that kind of slipped out of his mouth. Like maybe he was thinking it and he didn't mean to say it, but once he was saying it, it was already kind of too late. At least that's how it looked to me.
What do you think he covered up by throwing lately in at the end?
Something like that, yeah. And it's like, well, let's wait a second here, bro, because you know you knew you were having back issues back when you signed that big contract, right? It didn't come out that he had back issues for another month or so, right? But they don't just come out of nowhere. So he signed this big contract. Like, the franchise loves you enough to give you $8 million for the next 8 years. $8 million a year. They named you captain, right? So the team was looking out for him too, by the way, because you remember Couturier wanted to come back last season and they told him, no, there's no reason coming back. He wanted to get his legs under him, yada, yada. He was pissed about that, which, okay, yeah, that's fine. So, they save him for this year. They play him, whatever he was playing early in the year, the same way before he got hurt, right? And you think Couturier had a problem playing 20 minutes a night? No, right? He wanted all the playing time he could get. There was another quote where he was saying it, you know, he's got to adapt because he's only been playing 11, 12 minutes, which, you know, is kind of a, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face for a guy like Coots, but he said he's got to figure out a way to stay in the game while playing, you know, these little minutes. We're not playing to the minutes that he's used to playing. Do you know what I mean? So everyone wants to blame Tortorella for that, which, you know, I'm sure all the trainers and whoever else is talking to him are telling him that Coots is fine. He can handle the workload, right? Because Tortorella is not a guy that's going to drive him into the ground. Go back and look up Tortorella quotes from last year. He was calling Couturier a pain in the ass, right? Do you remember that? Because Couturier wanted to play, and he's like, "Get the hell out of here! You're not playing." So, you know, in these situations, we always want to look for someone to blame, right? And hey, how about the player? He's getting paid $8 million a season, and okay, he's burnt out. Bottom line is, he's not producing. Where is the responsibility for the player? The coach can't play his minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm taking the opposite stance with this, obviously, because I think it's pretty easy to say, oh, Couturier is going to burn out. He's going to burn out. Well, all right. So he's going to burn out. What do you want? We want to limit his minutes? Do you think that, you know, the games that the Flyers won at the beginning of the year, do we think they win all those games if Coots is playing 13, 14, 15 minutes a night? Do you know what I mean? Are they in the playoffs now? It's a lot of ifs. That's what kind of gets me. It's the if game. Well, if he was, you know, if his minutes were sheltered, he'd still be playing 14, 15, 16 minutes a night. And if he was playing that much, he'd be scoring more goals. Now, I'm sorry, man. That's not how that works. You know, it's the if game. And it's fun. It's fun to talk about and debate, but you know, it's in the end, it's kind of fruitless. It's
doesn't ifs. He have 11 goals on the year? Is that correct?
Yeah, he's got one goal in his last 27 games. I mean, you score two goals by accident playing this top 6 minutes the way he's been. Come on.
Like, I get that you're a defensive guy. You have a Selke, but 11 goals when you're making 7.75. And I know that they haven't played in a while, but look, it just doesn't fly. And I totally agree with you. You can't just – people who hate Torts are going to just jump all over this. And anybody who defends anything, you know, it's like, oh, he can do no wrong. It's like, no, that's not the case. It should be on both of them here. This could have been handled better from Torts. He could have said – it could have been the maintenance thing, like I said, but the team could have known the real reason. It didn't have to be broadcasted out and embarrassed. Like you said, why do that now? Why pull that out in a rebuild year? You're going for the playoffs when you're not supposed to make playoffs. Keep things in-house. But at the same time, Coots is the captain. The number one thing you see most good captains do is take the blame even when they don't have to. Answer for everybody. And he felt very, woe is me. And I don't like sulkers. Like, I can't – it's one interview. I'm not going to, you know, write him off. But I really wasn't – and it's subtle jabs, like, back through the media – at your coach, and he even said the organization. Like did he say the organization, how I've been treated, or he just said around here lately? Okay, well, that could mean the locker room, so I won't, you know. But I just, the whole thing is just, there's too many things I don't like that could lead to issues down the road. I hope that we can all be mature and get past that. Well, I mean, what happened to the game where Couturier, he Torts pissed him off, so he goes and scores and then flips him off or whatever? I thought that was like the turning point. He was named captain shortly after that game, you know, and even Torts was explaining, oh, it was an FU to me. Like, good, you worked something out. I mean, there are coaches who coach that way.
So, you know? I mean, good for you for bringing that up, because that's how long he's kind of had an eye on Couturier. Like, we think we can coach this team and we know these players better than the coach does. Like, come on, guys. He sees him every day. This guy's been doing it for longer than we've been alive, right? He knows when a player's starting to fall off. He's been trying to press Couturier's buttons for well over a month now.
And look at Dan Knightley's comment here to go to that. Well over a month. Well, today is March 20th. So his last time he was a plus in a game was February 6th. So well over a month. There you go. If he's a defensive guy you rely on with big minutes, who's supposed to come up against the other team's top players, and he's a negative player for a month and a half and a playoff push, that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just could they have managed his minutes better? Maybe, I guess. But then I go back to, would they have won the same amount of games that they won? I don't know. So that seems like past stuff now, and it's like, okay, well, here we are. And so I think the final straw between Couturier and Tortorella was the benching, right? Let's say this is, you know, February 6th. That's, a month and a half. Let's say it's been going on that long, right? Couturier said there's been very little communication type stuff. I mean, some coaches communicate through actions, and – you know, if a coach is kind of riding your ass for a month and a half, he's talking to you. He's telling you there's something up, right? At some point, when does the player go to the coach and go, hey, I noticed this is going on. What's up? Is there something you need from me that I'm not, you know what I mean? What's going on here, right? I mean, and all Torts really would have to say is go look at the friggin' score sheet, right? Mm-hmm. We need you to win games. Right. So another thing that I've been seeing all over Twitter, right? And it's funny because it makes me laugh a little bit. You don't pay a guy $8 million a season to not lose games. You pay him $8 million a season to win you games, right? You don't, you know, it was just a silly argument. Oh, Couturier is not the reason why they're losing. He ain't the reason why they're winning. That's for damn sure. And that's what he's getting paid for. He's getting paid like a top line center. One goal in 27 games, a minus player since February 6th. Come on. That's not him. Morgan Frost has been out playing Sean Couturier. Not a knock on Morgan Frost. He's been playing great. But Couturier should be at least at that level. You know, not saying he's got to be a point per game guy. But geez, man, like it just, you know, everything that you saw, and, you know, rightfully so, because Torts is not a likable guy. And I don't think he gives a shit to be liked. He doesn't want to be liked. It's not his job to be liked. So everyone takes Couturier's, you know, side instantly. Even I'm on his side a little bit because I think the benching was bullshit, as I've said. But I think some responsibility needs to be put on the player. Why is he let off scot-free for playing like shit? Right? Yeah, I don't know.
I think what it comes down to is, like, with Tortorella, it really does seem like he has players he likes and dislikes. I mean, look at the tough. I mean, it's hard to argue with results, as I said earlier. Look at the tough love that Frost went through earlier this season. Look how he's been playing since January. Like, can't argue with that. He's essentially team's number one center, and he's the most, like, offensively talented guy out there, and he's been doing everything you want. We're just going to nail the consistency thing until we see it for a full year. But for where we are right now, it's great. It's exactly what you need from the guy. So, but it does seem like he's hard on Coots and Frost and Brink, but guys like, you know, Tippett, Lawton, Forrester, you know, and Lawton went through a really tough stretch at the beginning of the season. He wasn't benched once, you know, so it's tough. I can see where, like, why is this guy being treated this way and this guy being treated the other? And you want to treat everybody equally. And
I don't know if I agree with that.
I feel like it's deeper than that. I feel like it's not just what we see in the games. I think it's a lot deeper than what you and I can analyze. I think there's things in the locker room and at practice that we're not seeing that change his mind and makes us think, or makes the masses think, that there are favorites and there are not favorites and things of that nature. I know what you're going to say, and I agree with it.
What?
I just feel like certain players need to be motivated in different ways.
Don't agree that all players should be treated the same.
Okay, so I said there's a whole equally thing, and I feel like it's not flat.
For example, Stone's comment here, I don't agree with that comment. Depending on what's done and who the player is.
Well, who the player is, that's where I agree with you.
Like, character comes into play a little bit. Are they captain of the team? Are they Nick Seeler? Are they Adam Ginning? All that, are they Bobby Brink? All that stuff factors in.
That's the difference between, like, a Bobby Brink staying out for a shift and TK staying out for a shift. There's a big difference. They should be
That's why I disagree.
And look, you got to earn your stripes. I get that. It's weird with Coots because he's been around for so long, and we can nail how much he's been getting paid, but before this contract, he was criminally underpaid as well. But again, it's a results-based business. It's a business at the end of the day. So you have to treat this like a business. And it's a tough question. It's just not a black and white thing. You know, everybody should be held accountable. No doubt.
Yeah.
But like as far as equally, you got to know your players, and everybody gets motivated and treated differently, unfortunately. But a lot of that comes with clout. And a lot of what I like about that is Torts teaches that to his young guys early on. You do these right things, then I'll let you out of your shell a little bit. We saw that with Forrester. We saw it with Frost. Frost has been defensively more responsible, and now his other game's starting to shine, and he's getting those opportunities. But you have to start at the ground level before you get there. So that's where I think there's a difference between just having a open, you know, fair playing field, everybody treated equally. And I was like, well, actually, certain guys are treated differently for certain reasons, and a lot of that has to do with clout. Where it comes in with Couturier is the awkward thing, because he has all the clout in the world. But we know about his injury history. We know about how much time he lost. And we flat out know what we expect from a guy making what he's making and what he's done in the past and how his games have been. So what do you do? You just keep rolling out there as they go through this tough stretch and get pummeled. I don't know. I still don't know if benching was the option, or at the very least the way they did it. That's where I'll agree with the masses. Like, geez, did you really have to embarrass the guy? Like, as you said, are we at that point already where we're doing this stuff? Could have been handled differently, but at the same time, for this season, I do get it.
Yeah, like I'm believe it or not, I'm anti scratching. Like
100% complete, even if it was like you know, like, no, oh, it's a main mistake.
I'm for benching rookies. Like, I'm for scratching rookies. Yeah. Like, over the smallest shit, too. So, you know, and that's unpopular, especially with a lot of fans out there, probably some of our viewers and listeners. But if Bobby Brink's going to continually get beat along the boards or, you know, turn pucks over and he doesn't know how to check and play away from the puck, he's not going to be playing the next game, you know, things like that. Whereas if it's Couturier, who, you know, like we said, he's going on a month and a half, 2 months of poor play. Or for another example, Cam Atkinson, it would take me a really long time to bench those guys. They've earned the opportunity to play out of it because you know that they're capable of better, you know? So you give them that chance. And I think that's what Torts has been doing with Atkinson. Yeah, I think he benched him twice for at least two or three games once, something like that. I mean, Atkinson, unfortunately, looks cooked. Sad to say, great guy, good player. Couturier, I'm a little worried that Couturier, we'll talk about that another show. Anyways, Couturier, yeah, he's not a guy that I would scratch. You know, it's, there's just, I would assume that there would have to be another way. But like I said, Tortorella's a smarter guy, knows Couturier better, you know, better hockey mind, everything, you know, everything better than we could ever possibly be, Jack. Torts is, and maybe he thought that, hey, this is my last resort move with Couturier. This is what I have to do. So I have written down here also, what's Tortorella want out of this? What does he want from Couturier? You know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy that would just say, well, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to throw my hands up and I'm going to bench Coots, you know, and we'll see what happens from there. No, I would have to assume this. Tortorella is a calculated man. He doesn't just do random stuff to piss people off, right? He knows the outcome that he wants from the situation. Why would he do it? What could possibly be the outcome that he wants from benching Sean Couturier, right? The obvious answer would be, he wants his play to pick up. What else could there be, Jack? Is there anything that comes to your mind for like what could he want from Sean Couturier so badly that he benches him?
Well, I don't think it's just about Couturier. I think it was lighting a fire on the entire team as well. Now, that's not like it has been in the past where it's more about the team than it is the player. I think it's pretty even in this case. I guess he wants him to light a fire under Coots as well. Like, get him angry. Like, when he got him angry last time and he scored that goal and he flipped him off, he was probably pretty pissed off before that happened. I don't think he wants more of that again. And, you know, hopefully for longer stretches. And at the same time, it has an effect on the team as well. So I think he wants him to get angry and prove with his play that Tortorella made the wrong decision. I think that's all it comes down to. He's making himself the enemy. And Coots and his team are going to have to band together and prove his ass wrong.
Yeah. I mean, all of that. So my mind went to kind of like, okay, what does he want from Couturier personally? Does he want more from him in that sense, right? Does he want, I don't know, with Morgan Frost, like Torts says it, he wants players to go to him. Right. He doesn't come out and say, I want players to come to me, but he makes a point to say, you know, Frost came to me and we talked. He makes a point to say that. He goes out of his way to mention the player came to me. Right. Because he's given props to the player out in the media. Look, this guy's mature enough, man enough to come to me and ask what the issue is. Right. So it means something to him. Right. Let's face it, Tortorella's an old school guy. Respect is a big deal to him. He's the boss. You should be coming to him, right? Some coaches, I get it, make it easy. They're called players' coaches. They'll go to the player, hey, buddy, you know, this is what we need to see more of you. We need to see more of this from you, yada, yada. Torts is not that guy. So you have to adjust. And I think maybe he's trying to, I don't know, maybe let's say Couturier is burnt. Let's say he's toast. Right. So how do you how do you get him back to zero? How do you get anything out of him during this last stretch? Or are you just going to accept that Couturier is going to be shit for the rest of the season? You know what I mean? So in that sense, it's like, all right, well, I need something from Coots. You know, here I am. I'm all out of ideas here. Do I sit him? You know, and this is the most important stretch of the season. We need to come out of this month 500 in order to have a chance for the play. 500 during the gauntlet, I mean. To have a chance for the, I'm just trying to get inside towards his mind and the psychology behind what he's doing and why it has to happen now. You know, and this is not me agreeing with it. I'm just trying to understand myself. So those are the reasons that I came up with that. If Coots is burnt, if he's toast, and we need him, what's going to at least spark him for a few games? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's like you said, your top guy. You know, he's not the worst out there. He's not losing you games. You know, he ain't winning them either. That's kind of important if you're doing this. Like, this is the guy you rely on. He's your top guy. And you're out of tricks. It's like, and he's the captain. It's like, it sounds like they talked at least a little bit. But how did I got to imagine the Torts isn't too happy with that conversation. I don't want to pretend like I know what took place. But based on what's said on both sides and how soft-spoken Couturier is, it feels like the conversation, Torts didn't get enough out of him. Yeah, he says, oh, well, what do you want to see out of him? More. You know, and that pissed people off, too, because he wasn't specific enough. I respect when a coach says it's between me and the player. But, like it's like the question you're answering. I feel like Kuz couldn't answer the question. You know, it's like, should I have to tell you? Like, I can't just say more. Like, you don't know. Like, we're not watching the same games here. More. Take a wild guess. More of what? Like, I mean, the other part of it is just, like, I really do think fatigue is a factor for Coots. And he's a gamer. So he's not going to take himself out of the game or want less minutes. But I do think it's weighing on him. So yeah, it's a tough situation.
He's still, whatever he tweaked back in January, he's playing through it somewhat. And so it's easy, I think, to say, oh, you know, he's playing through it. Like, oh, he's doing the best he can. On the other side of that, it's the NHL, you know, feelings kind of get pushed to the wayside here. And it's, hey, if you're healthy enough to play, this is the level I need from you, or I'm going to sit you. You know what I mean? Maybe that factored in a little bit too.
I think it was a combination of things, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Torts doesn't care about how big something's going to be unless he knows that he's going to get the desired effect. If he benches him the next game, I'm going to start to get concerned. I just feel like, look, you broke him out of their spell. They beat one of these tough teams. They almost, remember, they played well against Boston. You know, I mean, some of the goals they gave up were slam dunks, but if Sandstrom makes that one save, that weak-ass goal towards the end of the game, like, they at least get to overtime. And I actually felt that Coots played much better against Boston. But I think Torts' mind was already made up at that point. They got the win. Get him back out there. Let's put this shit behind us. And let's play how we were playing. You know? And we'll go from that. Fingers crossed. That's all it takes. Because they hung with Boston. They played three good periods. But one of those periods had like a 7-minute stretch where they were horrific. They can clean that up, and they're going to need Coots to play against these top guys to clean that up. That's the only way they come out of this gauntlet 500. So hopefully, if it's longer than one game, then I start to question things, you know. And I felt that way with Frost too, especially when he pulled him out of the lineup the second time after the 6 games. He came back in and he pulled him out again. You know, Frost is a younger player. I get that. Like you were alluding to benching like rookies and whatnot. I know Frost isn't a rookie, but he's still a young player. Coots, I think he needs to get back in the lineup as soon as possible. It's already has taken enough bad light as it could. You won the game, you know, reward the team and, you know, put him back in the lineup. Let's put the shit behind us. And I hopefully he proves it, goes out there. Look, we won without you. Now come win with us. And if that should, you would think, light a fire under Coots' ass. I'm not saying he needs to score a hat trick, but like he's got to pick it up.
So something I found a little, I don't know if it's funny or not, but I mean, they played kind of well. They played pretty good last night. Still could have lost. I think Toronto hit 5 or 6 posts.
So did we.
Yeah, they played well enough to win, and they did. now it's kind of like the bar's been raised another level, in my opinion, right? Because they're missing, they're still missing Sealer, Drysdale, Ristolainen. You know, two rookies are playing, Addard and Jennings, who we're going to talk about. Eric Johnson's playing. No Mark Stahl in the lineup last night, thank God. And I mentioned to you guys in the group chat, I've been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, this is an NHL player. He can't be that bad. And having the opportunity to watch him live and against these teams that they're playing against, they just don't stand a chance with him in the lineup. Like he's that bad. So it's great that he's not playing. No disrespect. Now the bar has been raised because they know that they can play to this level against good teams without the captain, without the three players we mentioned on defense. There's no excuse for anything less now, right? So when they add Couturier back to the lineup, when they add Drysdale, Ristolainen, and Sealer back to the lineup, that's all great. You know, those are good players you're adding back. The level of, help me out, what's the word I'm looking for? The level that they played to last night, that's the level they play at every night now. They almost did themselves a disservice because there's no excuse not to bust their ass like that every game. You know, well, and it sucks that they had to bench Couturier to get that back a little bit.
Well, the other thing we didn't mention is you just mentioned all those injuries they've had, and they're going through this tough stretch with those injuries. That's a time you need your top players to shine. I think Konechny came back. I think we all know this, came back a little too soon from that injury, and he's trying. So I'm not out on him by any means. You were hoping that Coots could step up a little bit. I think that has something to do with it. Now, to your other point, they can get things going and start getting people back. They can not only roll the rest of the playoffs, I'm sorry, the rest of the season into the playoffs, but maybe even that first round, depending on how healthy they are when they come back. I believe I saw there's a chance of all three of Ristolainen, Drysdale, and Sealer all have a chance to be back before the end of the year. I obviously expect Sealer sooner rather than the other two. Although he has been out longer than I expected at this point. I thought he would have been back by now from when he originally got hurt.
I'm wearing a boot.
Yeah, I guess it is what it is. But, you know, some of the other guys have stepped up. I don't know if you wanted to talk about Jenning and Addard, but people seem to – Jenning really sticks out to most people, I think. He's good on defense. I just feel like when he's on the ice, there's not much offense going. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but a good defense is a good offense. However, if you need him for those minutes in those situations, he sticks out. Is he 100% going back to Sweden? Is that like a solid thing? Or is he like, I'm probably going back to Sweden and now they're giving him more of a chance to see what they got? Or is that a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of stuff here, right? Like, I was talking to our buddy Russ Cohen last night in the press box and we were talking about Jenning. I said, Russ, Jenning looks like an NHL defenseman to me. He looks comfortable. He looks poised. He's not like, this is not too big for him. He belongs out there. He's doing his job. He's a defensive defenseman, right? Like, we don't get on Nick Sealer for not creating offense, do we? That's kind of what Adam Jenning is. He's not going to create offense. He's going to block shots. He's going to play physical around his goal. He's going to be good at defense, which you kind of need. So, the thing is, And Russ made this point, but, you know, they signed Nick Sealer, and that's kind of whose spot he would take in the lineup would have been Nick Sealer's spot, right? Like, let's look at the top four real quick. Let's just say for now, it's York, Sanheim's your top pair, Drysdale, and give me another left side guy. Who's playing left side now? Let's just throw in Sealer, I guess, and then bottom pair, you got Ristolainen, Zamula, and who else? I feel like I'm missing somebody else. Can I leave somebody out?
Trying to think of who you said. Did you name Drysdale at all?
Drysdale, Sanheim,
York,
Ristolainen. So there's four. And then you got Sealer, Zamula. Like, there's six right there. And now you got Addard too.
I want to see Andre at some point.
So, I mean, where's the spot for Jenning? Unless you're planning on playing Sealer in your top four again.
Well, you get and Lyndon made a good point. I mean, Stahl and Johnson are going to be gone, so there's two defensemen. You're obviously not going to bring back Walker.
I don't know if that's. I don't know, Jack.
I said that on purpose, but go ahead.
Torch said on, I think it was 97.5.
It was Torch or Keith Jones.
I thought it was Torts.
Okay.
He said that they'd be open to it. Which
I mean, yeah. Did he get asked directly? He's not going to say, no, we don't, we were out. You know what I mean? It's like one of those, like, you're not going to say no, you know, no, we're done with him. We used him. They better be making some mountains in the off season. If they're doing that, then I'd be fine with it. Cause he's going to be a free agent. You think he's going to come in for cheap?
Unless they negotiated something before they traded him.
They better have a negotiated deal for Risto and plus if they're going to be doing that shit.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm going to operate Walker under the guise that that's not going to happen, but,
I'd be shocked.
I would be too, but I mean, it goes back to Jennings. Like I think this is going to be it. I think it's going to be him.
Yeah. I guess that does make sense. I forget how old he is. I guess he was the 2018 draft. So it's been a bit. There's so many guys I want to see.
He's only been in North America for 2 years, if you can believe that or not. Yeah. Adam Jennings, I'll tell you. I think he's younger. I thought he was younger than... No, he's 24 years old. So same age as Adder. I mean, this is the age where they really need to show that they belong. And look, in my opinion, Jennings does, right? I had a couple guys on Twitter, and it's... The first thing... So I don't want to insult anybody. But the first thing people will do who don't actually watch the player, like they're in a game, they'll throw numbers, they'll throw the analytics stuff at you. And it kind of pisses me off a little bit because I wouldn't say that this guy's good if I didn't actually watch him. Like I'm watching him hold his own, right? I'm seeing real life things. Like this guy can play in the NHL. He's okay playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs, powerhouse offense. And it's, you know, he's... You know, I'm going to compare him to Adder. We talked about Adder last week. Adder looks nervous. We talked about that. He's changed environments from the AHL to the NHL. NHL's, you know, a lot faster. He's thrown right into the gauntlet. You would expect a rookie to be nervous. Adam Jennings doesn't look like that. He looks like this is not too big for him. He's playing fine. He's holding his own. And that's all I said. I didn't say he's a superstar in the making. He's a capable third pair defenseman, defensive guy. That's it, you know. And then to throw analytic numbers and say, "Oh, look at his Corsi." He's not that guy. His Corsi's going to stink. Of course, Adder's Corsi is going to be better than Jennings. You would expect that, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't care.
He's the puck mover. He's going to be getting pucks to goal, possession, yada yada.
Not taking shots. He's not.
What the hell are we doing?
Have you seen Adder take shots? Oh man, he can rip it, but hitting the net is a foregone. I mean, geez, he struggles. Brand. Oh, geez, yeah, exactly. I mean, every time he's on the ice, we get free advertising. It's unbelievable. He can rip it too, but Christ.
Yeah. But I hope he gets it going. I haven't been impressed with what I've seen from him from the eye test with Adder. You know, I think he's still trying to find his game a little bit more. Who was I talking to about Adder? I was talking to Jordan Hall. And he had mentioned that somebody told him, one of the coaches, I think it was, that Adder is trying not to make the mistake. He's trying to be the perfect player. You know what I mean? Instead of just playing loose.
How much of that's a Torts effect, though?
It could be. It could be that. But then compare, and it's like, well, Jennings doesn't have that same thing. And, hey, that's a thing that
will separate you. Well, he's leaving. He got to lose.
It could be. That could be true. But that's something. Like, you need to get over that or you're going to find yourself back in the AHL.
That, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, and he's 24 as well, because I know he was a 2019 draftee, but he was older for his group. You got other guys coming. They're going to draft more. We know they are. And who knows who they trade for? I mean, I hope they make some moves. I really do. We'll see what happens. But it sucks to lose a prospect for nothing. If your ceiling is a third pair, stay at home type. Look, you can find those guys. It's just a shame when you're your second round pick. You know, it is what it is. At least it's not Jay O'Brien.
Yeah, it is. That's very true. So here's a nugget for you. Also talking to Russ last night, and it was kind of funny because he just happened to be walking past, and I think I was watching players for the 2024 draft or something, and he goes, "Oh, I got a little nugget for you." And we happened to be talking about, I can't remember what, but he goes, here's something that'll make you cry or something like that. And he goes, look who was drafted right after Tuimala, or in, what was it, the 2021 draft? And the, like the viewers and listeners, go back, go and look up who was drafted directly after Samu. And because at first I'm like, well, Tuimala's all right. Like, you know, he's a okay little player. Like he, you know, I'm not mad that we drafted him. But as soon as you look at who was taken right after him, you're going to be a little angry, I think. And I'll give people a second to go back and look, or I'll wait for him to pop up in the comments. But go look up who was taken directly after Samu Tuimala, and you know, you'll kind of be kicking yourself a little bit. And you know, I think Russ, maybe he was giving me something to go think about or whatever. Because you know, I think generally we kind of like Brent Flair, but that's who was making those picks. And they didn't have a first round pick that year. They traded it for Ristolainen. That's Chuck Fletcher, I think.
Definitely.
And then they potentially, well, I'm not going to say they missed on their second round pick by taking Tuimala, because we'll give them time still. But you could have had Logan Stankoven, or Stankoven, however you want to say his name. Stank Dog.
Was he like third right now in points in the AHL or something?
I think he's got 11 points in 13 games since being called up by the Dallas Stars.
But he was like killing it in the AHL, right?
I think so. Let's check. I think he was leading the league in scoring. Yeah.
I think he was third, and that was like an updated list where he hadn't played in like 2 weeks.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I was getting at.
57 points in 47 games in his first season in the AHL. And if you make the jump from WHL to AHL and you light up the AHL like that, you're going to be a stud, right? So for just something to look out for in the future, if you make your jump from the WHL, OHL, whatever it is, into the AHL and you're putting up those offensive numbers, you're probably going to be pretty good in the NHL, right? Because you're changing into a completely different, like it's a pro league. With adult men, you know, compared to playing against kids. And, you know, if you put up those points there, maybe it won't be point per game or whatever he was doing in the AHL, but you're going to produce offense in the NHL, and he is.
I get it. It's really tough to do that with the draft, especially in the second round. You could do that all day long. Like you go back, Flyers traded up for Kevin Marshall, let PK Subban go right on by. You know, we could do that all day long. I wouldn't kill Flair yet. And some guys, they grow at a different rate. You know, like Tuimala, he was in the All-Star AHL. You know, we'll see. Some guys are flashes in the pan as well. So I'm not going to go crazy yet. But this is why I want as many shots at draft picks as you can get. You know, wouldn't it be nice to have both? Wouldn't it be nice to have a plethora of guys and one of them emerges? So that's the whole idea behind that. So we'll see. Again, for this team, where they're at and what they have and their plan going forward, they still need a franchise defenseman and center. Those are two massive needs. Usually rebuilding teams start with at least one of those positions by drafting something or whatnot. So I hope that Briere is really making some moves. And in the draft, too, I'm hoping he's trying to move up, at least, you know, maybe dangling some names we wouldn't be expecting, because they're going to need to really pad these covers with like all-star talent. Like, well, I shouldn't say all-star, like a prospect who can really be something. Cause I think we have a lot of guys right now. I don't, outside of Michkov, it's a big drop off for me as far as guys that could really, really make an impact. Not saying there's not people who can't play, not NHL players, even second line guys, but like the odds of them making it and sticking are slim to none. And they need a couple of guys who can really, really play.
That's true, especially when it comes to the forward position. You're right. Yep. Yeah, you look through the prospects, and yeah, Denver Barkey's putting up a lot of numbers. Let's not forget that's a loaded London Knights team. He's a smaller guy. You know, maybe he's a third-line guy that can flex into your second once in a while, things like that. Shit, I had a thing I wanted to tweet there. Or not a tweet. I'm sorry. Here it is. All right, anyways. Barkey's a good player. He's going to take some time to come up. Flyers have a lot of wings, man, you know, and I don't see where any of these guys are going to go anytime soon, you know, and if we want top end, high end talent, you know, there's like a weird little segment out there of Flyers Twitter that, doesn't want to sign TK. And, you know, these guys, I don't know. The Flyers don't have a lot of high-end offensive talent coming up through the system aside from Michkov.
Yeah, and just banking on free agency. This isn't baseball. Like this, yeah. This is the worst cap in sports. It's going to be tough to fit everybody in and then go spending money. Like that's a tough sell. I hope you can get it done with trades. I mean, Flyers teams in the past that have turned things around from bad to good have made trades. Think of go all the way back to Clark trading Recchi for Desjardins and LeClaire. Go to Holmgren trading, getting the rights, trading a first round pick to get the rights to Thiemann and Hartnell. Like you can't just hope to draft and then we'll just spend money to make it work the rest of the way. And they're gonna have to get really creative.
Yeah, they are. And
else I worry about? And I'm sorry to interrupt so quickly. I really like Barkey. I like him better than who I'm about to name. But people were pretty gung ho about Denoyer for these crazy numbers before too. And I'm not saying that they're the same player. I think Barkey's much better, but we think the ceiling's higher than it is, and that you can't bank on that kind of stuff.
And Slaypool makes a point to say that he's a center. He's playing left wing, and do you see him as a center in the NHL? I mean, how many guys his size do you see play center?
Is he like a Tyler Johnson type?
I think he's even smaller than
Tyler
Johnson. Barkey is not a big dude. I mean, he's listed at 5'9", 154, so you know he's smaller than that. Right, because they juice that up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a center body. You know what I mean? Like he's not like Konechny played center when they drafted him, right? And they moved him to wing.
I can't
remember. Or they said he was a center.
They may have done that. They just said forward.
Barkey's not playing center in the NHL. The Flyers don't have any center.
They really don't. Nobody they can bank on.
Yeah, I mean, like they have Rizzo, who they traded for from Carolina, former seventh round pick. But how much weight are you going to put in Massimo Rizzo? He's had a great college season, but I'm not sitting here like, oh, this is a guy. I'm like, all right, this is a guy that can flex in from the AHL whenever they're in a pinch. They need a guy to come up and play third line center, whatever it is. They need high end offensive talent, and that's going to take time to develop as well. But luckily for us, they're going through a rebuild, so we have that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they say.
So they say.
So I have here up on the screen, guys. We're not wrapping up the show yet, but I think it was Derek from the Pod Street Bullies mentioned TDS earlier. I almost said the other one. Torts derangement syndrome. And we have new merch up, new T-shirts. We're going to come out with bracelets and bumper stickers and stickers and whatnot, magnets, whatever. You can find the shirts over at hoo.be/HW hockey, or you can head over to bonfire.com and just search HW hockey in the search over on that site. And you'll see some of the t-shirts we have up. If you feel so implied to buy one or two, thanks. That would be pretty cool to see some of you guys wearing some of our t-shirts when we're at the games and whatnot or whatever. So yeah, feel free to spend your hard earned money on some of the weird stuff that we've made. It'd be pretty cool. Thanks, guys. All right. Anyways, let's kind of move forward here a little bit, Jack. We talked about the defensive play. Eric Johnson is a guy that obviously the analytic guys hate him because he doesn't provide any offense, and that's not why he was brought in. But have you seen anything from Eric Johnson that you like or dislike, Jack?
There was games where I believe it was his second game where he was a little more – I don't know, since the trade had been more comfortable. I remember that being like, yeah, he's got something left in the tank. And then after that, I'm like, he's a guy. You know, he's not going to kill you. He's definitely not Stahl. But I think from night to night, it can be – overall, I'm fine with it. But night to night, it can be different how I feel about him. But he tends to go with how the team goes. So and I don't go by the analytics. This is the eye test. So I haven't even looked at his analytics. I typically don't around this time of year.
Yeah, you'd be wasting your time if you did because they're not going to be good.
I'm so into the games. I know what I saw. You know, I don't need numbers to tell me it's something different.
I mean, there are some players who I'm like, I'm curious to see what his underlying numbers would be. Travis Sanheim is supposed to be a play driver. Cam York supposed to be a play driver. Jamie Drysdale supposed to be a play driver or, you know, puck driver. Mobile defenseman, offensive guy. Those are the guys I want to see. How are their offensive numbers? Are they taking a dive or not? I don't give a shit what Nick Seeler's offensive numbers are, Adam Ginning, Eric Johnson. All I care about for those guys, are they keeping the puck out of the goal? Are they making it tough to play around the Flyers' net? Are they letting the other the opposing players into the zone easily? You know, are they breaking up plays? Are they making smart reads? Are they getting out of the zone? Those are the things I look for from the defensive players. Like, Christ. Like, why are you showing me analytical numbers for Eric Johnson? I know they're shit.
I know.
My God, these people. Like, and it's always the same accounts. And I let them piss me off sometimes. But you don't make interact. Sense. You don't make any sense. My
God. I want to see that for, like, the Cam Yorks and the Sam Hines, like you said. But guys that are brought in here for a fourth-round pick at the end of their – the guy was drafted in 06, for God's sake. You know, they got a small role, and I need them to do that small role. I don't need to see the rest. They're punting on those sides of the game. We get that. We understand. Yeah, it gets a little silly. That's where you can't build a team through analytics. You just can't. It's a tool, and that's it.
Right. Like, I want to know if, you know, a puck moving guy is not moving the puck like he should be, or, you know, if his fancy numbers are low and they're supposed to be high, then I want to know them. You know what I mean? But Eric Johnson's been fine for me. He's been what they've brought him in for, I think.
I did get a little overly excited in that one game, but other than that, I'm like, he's your guy.
Yeah, that's what he is. He was a body. They needed a body. You know, they traded away Sean Walker, Ristolainen's hurt, Drysdale's hurt, Seeler's hurt. They needed a body, and that's what Eric Johnson is. He's fine. He actually had 3 shots on goal, so I don't know how his analytics were bad last night. 3 slap shots.
I don't know.
You got to do is throw the puck towards the net for Corsi, right?
And a little possession. I don't know. It just doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know. I feel like when I like a guy and the analytics back it up, I'm like, oh yeah, see, you know. But if they don't, I'm like, all right, whatever. I believe what I believe.
Well, that's what people. That's basically what they do anyway. That's what makes them sometimes. What's the word I'm looking for here? Like, they use these tools to push their agendas, and that's not right.
It's all smart people doing these numbers. I'm not saying they're wrong or anything like that, but it's easy to talk a jock and making your numbers make sense. Like, you know, sometimes I hear something, it sounds really smart, I don't understand what I was told. So maybe they're just not for me. But just watch the game. Certain guys have certain roles. I'm not analyzing something else that I know that they weren't brought in here to do, and they're not on the ice enough for it to really even matter. So it's something you're just going to have to deal with, Jim.
I had a tweet that was like, you know, I'm not comparing these guys in any way because they don't play the game the same way. But Adam Jones has been more impressive to me than Ronnie Hatter. And one of the first things I get is analytics of both players. And I'm like, I just fucking said I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying one has stood out more to me.
You gave a disclaimer and you still got hit with the analytics.
Oh my God, dude. It's like, you know, whatever. Anyways, all right, let's talk about this playoff race a little bit here. We're 4 minutes over an hour. A lot of people chiming in the comments. Let's see. So Eastern Conference playoff race, Flyers are currently third in the Metro. I think they're still 2 points up in the wild card if they end up being a wild card team. Let me just present the facts here. So, yes, through 69 games, Flyers are 9 games over 500, 78 points. Good enough for third place in the Metro Division. Currently up 3 points on the Washington Capitals, who now have 2 games in hand. They are playing the Maple Leafs tonight, so that will go back down to 1. It's funny because we're all rooting against the Maple Leafs last night. Now I think we're all rooting for them. Hopefully they can beat the Capitals in regulation. New York Islanders have now lost 2 straight games, and in this kind of a race, you lose 2 straight. That's a huge 4 points. They're currently 5 points behind the Flyers with a game in hand, which that game in hand right now doesn't matter. Buffalo Sabres, if you want to count them in this race, I'm sorry, they're not in the Metro. The New Jersey Devils have the same amount of games played as the Flyers. They're 8 points back. I think we can kind of count them and the Penguins out. Now, if we're talking wild card, the Tampa Bay Lightning have 80 points, so they have the first wild card spot. If the Flyers were somehow overtaken by the Capitals for third place in the Metro, Flyers would be in a tie right now with the Detroit Red Wings. They both have 35 wins, both have the same amount of games played. So the Flyers are up 2 points because they have the overtime losses. They have two more overtime or shootout losses. So Flyers are 2 points up on the Red Wings with the same amount of games played. Now is where you would have to look at the Buffalo Sabres, who are 7 points behind the Flyers with a game in hand. So maybe we don't have to worry about them. So it's basically a five-team race for two spots, long story short. You got the Flyers, then you got your Capitals, Red Wings, Islanders, and your Tampa Bay Lightning. But I think we can all agree the Lightning are probably going to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think they're in.
Yeah, so for two spots, it's Flyers, Red Wings, Caps, and Islanders. Jack, right now on March 20th, you think the Flyers make the playoffs?
Yes. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that. Yes. Yes, I say they're in. I still have confidence that they'll get in because this is why. There were so many times this year where this team started to lose games that we thought this is it. They went as far as they could. They're going to start losing. And they would come back and beat like Vancouver, Florida, and, you know, like in a row. And you're just like, what? I thought they were done. And they've done that like four times this season. Every time I think they're down and out, they do something. You know, they win a couple of games against some good teams. You're like, man, they're still in this. Like you can't. And I think the start of that might have happened with Toronto. We'll see. So they're in. They're in for me.
Yeah. I think the Islanders are done, right? They've been kind of up and down all year. I mean, they have 15 overtime or shootout losses, which would be kind of bullshit if they got in. they're technically they're 29 and 39, 10 games under 500. They're five games over hockey 500. Yeah, Capitals, are the team that we need to pay attention to right now. They've won three straight. They've been another team that's been inconsistent for most of the year. I think Ovechkin's kind of starting to find his scoring touch a little bit. I haven't watched a lot of Capitals games, but they have a negative 27 goal differential, so not very good. I'm not particularly worried about them. I know it's the team that we should be watching if there is a team to watch, I don't think that they're very good.
Down 2-0 right now to the Maple Leafs.
There you go. Yeah. So, they've been, they had a good week last week. They went 2-2 last week. They got blown out against the Oilers and they lost to Winnipeg 3-0, a team that the Flyers beat twice. Yeah. They beat Vancouver and they beat Calgary. So they had a pretty good West Coast trip, 3-2. Losing against Toronto. So they don't have an easy stretch coming up either, right? They have Toronto tonight, Carolina Friday. So Carolina's got a back-to-back. They play the Flyers tomorrow night and then Washington Friday. So Washington kind of gets the better end of the stick there. And then they have Winnipeg. They have a big game against Detroit, Toronto, and then Boston to finish out March. So that's no cakewalk either. That's somewhat of a gauntlet as well.
Yes. And see, there's a chance, Jim. Just focus on the game in front of you, baby.
All right, that's it.
So you know what, though? One thing we didn't talk about, I wanted to ask you. How do you feel about them picking up, spending a fourth-round pick on Eric Johnson because they're still going to go for the playoffs? But they let a guy like Antti Raanta, who they could have had for free, pass through waivers, and then we're dealing with this. Erickson was very shaky. We can't call it Peterson. Sandstrom, that could go either way too. They could have had a guy to help for free and they didn't pick him up and then could have goaltending issues at any moment.
I don't know. I personally wanted to see Sandstrom get a look.
So you were still focused on what the future, which is good. It's a good answer. Like, what do we have in this guy?
I mean, I guess, but, I don't know if I want to say I have a soft spot for Sandstrom for some reason. I mean, like, if anyone ever has the time, which I did at some point in my life, I went and looked at each start that he made, and the majority of his starts, minus like three or four games, all came in the second game of Flyer back-to-backs. And the Flyers were absolute shit in back-to-backs last year.
True.
Like, no structure, no defense. Like, a lot of the goals were scored. Sandstrom was just way out of position because there were a lot of odd man rushes, two-on-ones, three-on-ones, you know what I mean? Like, he was got his ass handed to him. And yeah, so no, I don't want to say that it wasn't fair because he's still a goalie playing in the NHL, yada, yada. But it was kind of a shit deal. Like, let's actually see what we got in this guy. You know, start him fresh when the team's fresh. Let's see how he does. And he's looked competent at times, but then you go back to the Boston game where he gave up some pretty quick goals there in the third. All of a sudden it's 2-2, all of a sudden 5-2 or whatever it was. He's not an NHL starter, but I want to see what they have. You know, I just have a soft spot for him. I think he got a shitty deal last year.
Well, I can't argue that. He definitely had just about everything working against him last year. Yeah. I mean, but you're not as invested. Your answer, where your thought process is, isn't as invested in the now as it is the future, plus a soft spot. So I get it. But if it's about this season, I think that it's just weird. I just don't understand. You had issues at goaltending already. It's a free depth piece, you know, and you're already showing you're doing something for the playoff run. If it's free, it just didn't make sense to me. At first, I didn't think anything of it until they started having, like, Erson's been a little shaky and whatnot. And, you know, I get what you're saying about Sandstrom, but you're going for it this year. It's like, why? It's free. It's a free ad. So, yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
No, it is. Yeah, it was a chance for you to get a – I mean – if you're talking about backups, a legit backup versus an untested backup kind of thing, right? Or a guy overall, that can flex in to start some nights.
And just overall depth, because you're not calling Peterson backup. You have an injury and you need a bit, like, he's no way. So
yep.
Just an overall depth.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, it was a guy that was out there. He's been playing in the NHL. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. You know, it was a guy out there that could have got for free, and they went and spent a fourth-round pick on Eric Johnson. Why not spend something for a goalie? Or in this case, they had a chance to grab him for nothing. I don't know. I assume there's a reason why. I'm not sure. But, yeah. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Sandstrom has been bad for 6 years now. He's not bad because of a raw deal in the NHL last year. He's been consistently bad for a while now. All right, Paul. All right. Pipe down a little bit. Just enjoy the show.
Pipe down.
Thanks for coming.
Analytics talking, Jim. Analytics. There you go. It's like your post. Analytics. He's probably Paul's more than analytics. He's probably more than analytics.
Paul's our analytics guy. We love Paul. But I don't like that he doesn't like Sandstrom, though.
He doesn't all have right. A soft spot. He don't give a shit.
Paul's a good follow, too. Make sure you guys go give him a follow. On Twitter, look up, I don't know what your username is, Paul Pollock, I think. Go find him, or don't, you know.
Yeah.
He's just going to bore you with more Sandstrom slander. Anyways, let's look ahead just a little bit for the Flyers. So they're not even close to being out of this gauntlet. Three games into it with a 6-2 loss to Toronto, 6-5 loss to Boston, 4-3 win against Toronto. They have Carolina in Carolina Thursday night, Jack. And two big weekend games. So we'll only go as far as that. They have Boston at 1 p.m., which might as well just chalk that up to an L right now. Maybe a Pastrnak Hattie. All right, it's coming. All right, if you guys are going to bet, which a lot of us have been, make sure you go Pastrnak. I don't know what the over-under on goals is going to be. I'm going to assume it's going to be over 2.5 goals or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Slam it because, you know. And then Florida at 6 p.m. on Sunday. How do you see these next three games playing out, Jack?
I can't see them beating Carolina. Carolina's been rolling. They had one of the more impressive deadlines. And they're at home, Carolina. So I can't see them winning that game. But I'm going to give them a little bit more of a chance against Boston. I think they play better than we expect. Maybe sneak a point out of that one. I think they beat Florida. This is the turn. They just have Florida's number this year, and they're playing them at home. It's going to be a little tough on back-to-back, but still. So I'm going to say out of a total 6 points, they'll go halvesies. They'll get three.
Okay. So I'm a little bit, I don't know. I easily could see 0-3 here.
I know that'll be it for
not
me.
To be, not to be
the
nay,
magic's but, gone.
Carolina in Carolina. Carolina's been playing that's really tough. Well. I'm going to say if they're going to get points out of these next three games, it's going to be Thursday night in Carolina. And wow. I just have a feeling that they'll win that game. Let's just say they get two in Carolina, and I think they lose both games over the weekend. Boston, I think, just is a better team. They have the Flyers number. In Florida, it's going to be hard to beat a team like Florida three times in one season, right? At least that's the take I'm going to go with. I think
that's a good point. I think history backs up everything you're saying. I'm just trying to be positive.
I'm going to say they go.
But that's just it, though. Every time this year, we thought they were here comes the losing streak. They won as far as they could. They win these kind of games. And you're like, where'd this come from? They're back in it now. I see why they're so good, and everybody's on the don't trade anybody train. You know, I could see it's games like this they win that make people teeter. We'll see. This is going to be make or break.
Look, if they can come out of this month, what are they now? Real quick, they're 2-3. They're 2-2-1, 3-2-1, 3-4. So they're 4-4-1 right now. They're 500 with six games left in the month, right? My thinking is they come out of these next three games 5-6-1, and then they have this last three of New York, Montreal, Chicago. Let's say that they lose to New York. It's in New York, so I'm going to say they lose that game. You're looking at 5-7-1 with two games left against Montreal, Chicago. Boom, there's your 500. 7-7-1 for March. Not too bad.
You can take it. You'll definitely take it.
Yeah. I don't know why I think this way, because adding Gensel and Kuznetsov's been playing decently for them. I don't know why I'm looking at Carolina like this is the game they need to get to 2 points. Like they could be the hardest game of all. You know what I mean?
I think it is. I think it is. But there's a lot of factors in the other games, like back to back, matinee. Yeah. So I get it. But
yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see. Svechnikov, how could I forget? Nietzsche's, your boy, what the hell's his name? Jarvis.
Oh, yeah, I love Jarvis.
Yeah. Oh, we have a comment from our post game writer and our live tweeter. If you guys haven't been following along during games to the HW or Flyers HW High and Wide Hockey Twitter account, make sure you go do that. Megan's been doing a great job for us. Megan comments, I kind of see 0-3 as well. I'm not going to say it's definite. But this team never gives up. You never know what will happen. And hey, Jack, that kind of sounds like you there, you know, like where I've kind of been like the whole year, I've kind of been like, well, I think this is the stretch where they fall off, you know, and then they bench Coots and, you know, and they come out and beat Toronto for the first time.
I think
in like
the
games.
Benching of Coots still has, even with the win, still has everybody down. Just the whole situation and how Twitter's been fighting with itself. You know, I think people are down. I think it has something to do with the lack of confidence, but it is still a tough stretch, man.
This kind of cracked me up. Rosario Gentile. Why isn't Noah Cates benched? He has three goals on the season. It kind of made me laugh because you know what I've been saying about Cates. He's kind of been a ghost, but he's been playing a lot better of late, Rosario. The goals aren't there, but I'm not sure Noah Cates gets paid to score goals.
Exactly.
He's been okay. Been all right. I get what you're saying, though. I hear you loud and clear. He benched himself. He was hurt for most of the season. So there you go. If he won punishment, he was punished.
Wasn't he part of that, like, Hathaway and Poehling line that was, like, really good? He was the third guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Those guys have been playing really well. You know what, Jack?
Other two's doing the goal scoring. But still, he's on that line.
Something that I have to do from time to time for my own ego is admit when I am wrong about something. And I didn't like Hathaway. You remember this? I didn't like Hathaway over the summer and the beginning of the year. And then when they signed him, I'm like, damn it, they signed this guy. I love watching this guy play. He might be my most favorite player to watch. He's always doing something out there.
Yeah.
He's just really entertaining. I like him too. And he's That's good.
Fun. Yeah, he's effective. He's they call him the best fourth liner for a reason.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Actually means something, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're about an hour and 20 into the show. Did we touch on anything? Is there anything we missed?
Somebody mentioned that Chris Simon passed away.
I did see that.
Was good. Yeah, that was really sad to see. I remember him when Calgary was good in the early 2000s, but I didn't even realize he played for Detroit. He was on their 97 roster or something like that. I have no idea. Completely forgot. But yeah, it's very sad.
And I'll apologize because I did not read into what happened. Did you have any chance to read how he passed, Jack?
I believe it was suicide.
Was it? Okay. Because I saw a lot of the tweets, and it sounded that way. But I did not take the time to actually see what happened. So, yes, Chris Simon, former second-round pick by the Philadelphia Flyers, 25th overall in the 1990 draft. He was included in that Eric Lindros trade.
Yes, I read that the other day. It's funny. He was.
So, whether directly or indirectly, a pretty big reason why Eric Lindros was a Philadelphia Flyer. Played for the Quebec Nordiques, Colorado Avalanche, where he had a pretty good season, 34 points, 64 games. Played. I think he's most known for playing with the Washington Capitals. Would you say that that's correct?
That's what I meant. I said Detroit. I meant he played for Washington. And he might play for both. He scored a big goal, though. They went the year after us. Remember Olaf Kolzing?
I do remember him, yeah.
He was a stud that year. But, yeah, Chris Simon was on that team, too.
29 goals in the 1990-2000 season for 49 points. So some offensive touch, but, more known for the enforcer role. He played for quite a few teams towards the end after his Capitals tenure here. It looks like Chicago, New York, Calgary, the Islanders, and then the Minnesota Wild back in 2007-08. So a very long career, 782 games, 305 points, 1,824 penalty minutes for Chris Simon. And it's sad whenever somebody passes, but it's especially sad when somebody takes their own life. Prayers go out to him, his family, and anyone who needs them there. That's a sin. It really is. We have, I guess we'll get to one or two more comments here, Jack. So, Rosario, I can only assume that maybe you tuned in towards the end of our episode here. I'll remind everyone, if you want to listen to the whole episode, go check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Or once we finish up here, you can start from the beginning on YouTube. We definitely talked about that. I want to thank you for hanging out with us, Rosario. The first time I think we've seen you in here. Hopefully we see you in here a lot more in the future. Jack, anything else before we wrap up?
I can't think of anything else, my friend. I think that was it.
All right, boys and girls. And if that's all, we're going to wrap this episode up one last time. Give us a subscribe and a follow, please. And if you are so inclined, give us a 5-star and a thumbs up. Whichever podcast platform you listen to us on. And make sure you head over to ho.be/HW Hockey. Save that to your favorites. You can get all of our social media links in one place. And also a merch link. We have new merch up, as we mentioned earlier in the show. TDS. I misstated it again. Torch Derangement Syndrome merch. It's out now. We got more coming this weekend. We'll do bracelets and bumper stickers and all that fun stuff if you guys want to purchase some of our merch. So we're going to wrap this up. For Jack, I'm Jim. Hopefully the Flyers get a few big wins from now until the next time we talk. And we're talking about some wins instead of benching coots. That's going to do it. Let's go, Flyers. Good night, everyone.
TDS. It's a real thing.